Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, and I'm going to bring my sister in right now. Dr. Afeebi Azira, are you there, my sister?
Yep, I am here. Peace, family, and peace, my sister.
Peace, peace. Good to be back. I know we had some issues last week, and I'm really looking forward to this show. So I know everyone else out there, thanks for joining us again. And for those of you who are not familiar with us, we're going to make sure we properly introduce ourselves. But we just want to give, I just want to go ahead and apologize for last week. We were having some issues. So we're on this weekend. I'm pretty excited about that. So
that's right.
Peace, sis. Yes. I just wanted to, welcome you to and have you go ahead and let people know who you is. But let me just first let everyone know I am Kenya Jones, also Kenya Mansaret on Facebook, and I am a herbalist and a naturalist. I, you know, advocate using food as medicine and using natural as many, you know, as often as we should be using natural ways to heal the body. And my sister, Dr. Afeebi Azira, can you let them, the family know who you are?
Yes, ma'am, I can. So peace, everyone who has been with the Dynasty Network family, and those of you who are new, welcome. Welcome. My name is Dr. Afeebi Azira. I'm a naturopathic physician, which means that I'm a family practice or a general care practitioner for a general care physician who uses holistic therapies, ones that are complementary to the body, generating its self-healing power. So things like hydrotherapy, physical medicine, and then, of course, or acupuncture is another one that I really am utilizing. And my most passionate modality is using food, diet therapy, nutrition therapy as a way to heal the body. So that is why my sister and I are bringing this information to you today, because we both share that passion. So definitely be ready today. Get your pad and be ready, because, you know, I got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes, indeed. Because, you know, I stay with my pen and my pad ready. Because, I mean, the shelves are so packed with information that you'll do yourself a disjustice by not keeping notes. And for those of you who might not have a pen handy, you can always go back to the archives and check it out. But you might want to write things down as you go along the second time around. So today's topic is another awesome one. And, I mean, this show, we have come into the new season, and I want to go ahead and insist Dr. Phoebe. She did bring up the topic, and the topic for today is autumn's herbal medicinals. So, you know,
detox
lot of
the detox foods.
Okay, yes, the detoxing of, what is this?
Fall or the autumn detox foods. I know, like, we had the topic that we did last time was herbal medicinal, so
autumn detox foods. So, we're going to be touching, so this is going to be touching on foods that detoxing of the body. And this is what I need, y'all. I've been all out of whack, all off balance. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, I'm trying to get my balance back. So forgive me if I'm just like, So sis gave me some good stones to work with, so I'm working with those and trying to get myself back, my equilibrium back in check. So I'm about to sit back and let this do her thing, and I'm going to go ahead and let her do that. And, get your pens and your pads. And also, sis, before we get into the meat of things, what prompted you to do this topic?
So, as always, I usually just draw my inspiration from either people asking me questions or just, like, the energy of the time, you know, around when I do the show. So, like you were mentioning, this is a time of, you know, people in most places are experiencing fall already. But, you know, other folks, depending on where you are, if it's warmer, you may be already or you may be just transitioning into the winter where the heat from summer is now starting to turn into a more cooler temperature. So this is the time when we need to be kind of shifting our diet, shifting the things that we're doing for our bodies so that we can be properly prepared for the season that we're in or that we're going into for some people. And I talked about the herbal medicinal, the fall herbal medicinal, the last show. So in order to complement that, because now if you're on your teas, if you're using your spices that, you know, that are complementing the energy of fall, now I want people to know what kind of foods you can incorporate into your diet that will also facilitate your cleansing. Because I know that a lot of people have already done their Equinox detoxes, or people maybe haven't done their and it doesn't have to be just a Equinox detoxification program. Yeah, no, it's perfectly fine because we're still transitioning, and, you know, you need to do some kind of seasonal cleansing anytime that you can. So, and while this is a season that a lot of people start eating heavier, you know, because it's cold, because, you know, you're trying to kind of supplement the cold from the outside by putting more heat, more heavy, more comforting foods on the inside, I want to just give people options that will be filled with foods that are in season, but that are going to nourish the body and give you the energy you need and not weigh you down, not be overly starchy, you know, so that you don't have to gravitate towards comfort foods that may not be so healthy. So this is a way you can detox and have, like, a clean diet during the fall. You can just add some of these foods. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So, and also, too, I want everyone that maybe is joining us for the first time, this is a live call-in show. So if you want to call in and ask a question for about anything that I have discussed, then you can call this number, 646-716-7572, and then you just press the number 1 in order to raise your hand, and then we will get to you in the order in which you called. But if not, you can also call this number just to sit in and listen to the show, and, you know, don't press number 1 so that you can just listen. So with that being said, I'm going to get right into it because I have the information, and then I have more information because this is the show I was going to do last week, so I have to, like, make sure I get all of the things that I want to say in. Autumn detox foods. So the first food I have on my list is extremely common, and it's kind of slept on, but it's actually a superfood and actually is abundant in nutrition, and that is apples. Apples are so good for you. You know the saying, eat an apple a day, it'll keep the doctor away. And there's truth to that because apples have a great combination of antioxidants, of vitamins, minerals, and a wonderful type of fiber in them, which really give you a holistic, within one food, a holistic way of adding a food that will address different things in your body. So The fiber that's in apples, even though it has both soluble and insoluble fiber, it's the soluble fiber that's in apples, most specifically the pectin that is in apples, which is a fiber that is heavily researched. For example, I was reading a study that was done at the University of Illinois where they were looking at the soluble fiber in apples and seeing that it actually had immune strengthening properties. So again, that saying, you know, eat apple a day, heat the doctor away, this is especially useful for when we're transitioning seasons, because during the transitions of the season is when you usually see a lot of those colds flare up, those flus, those allergies and things, because that energy is shifting. It's almost like you disturbing a rug that's been dusty, and you're changing things, even though it's going to have a good outcome because, you know, if you shake the rug out, it's going to be clean, but it's also going to send some dust in the air and some debris in the air. So the same thing happens with the change of seasons. You know, you're kind of shaking things up, the energy is shifting, and if our bodies are not prepared for that transition, it can be in likeness to that dust kind of flying around, literally, and it'll make our bodies kind of imbalanced. Now, apples are a good way for you, or just incorporating apples more consistently into your diet will be a way for you to prepare your immune system for the transition into these seasons. And what other things that the fiber does is fiber is nourishing to the digestive system. It helps the insoluble fiber, the one that you can't digest, helps with moving the food. So again, that adds to bulk of the stool, and it helps you with having more easy bowel movements, one that are going to trap and eliminate more toxins and waste that the body is trying to get rid of. Now, that soluble fiber that I was mentioning is going to also be very beneficial to the digestive system, which I've mentioned in other shows. If you listen to other shows, you would know that the digestive tract actually holds over 70%, sometimes 80% of your immune system. So if your digestive system is out of balance, if it's challenged, then you will also usually have challenges with your immune system as well. So the soluble fiber in apples is actually nourishing and is food for the colon cells, the cells in the large intestine. So when you eat foods like apples that contain that kind of pectin, soluble fiber, which includes, and pectin is this fiber that is slippery, slimy. It's almost like okra, but it's not the same kind of fiber as okra or flaxseed, but it's similar in that it's kind of slimy and you can actually break it down. But that type of fiber is what your colon cells use for energy. They actually take that fiber in and they use it to power any kind of biological processes and functions that they need to do, which includes keeping the integrity of your digestive system intact. So if those cells are fed and nourished, then your digestive system can be on its way to healing if you have challenges there. If not, it will prevent digestive disturbance and digestive disease from manifesting. So I bet a lot of people didn't know apples could even do that much, right? But they can. You just have to consistently eat foods like this in order for you to see the benefits. So also, apples, like I mentioned, are full of vitamins and minerals, and the phytonutrients in apples are way too many for me to just go all over all of them in this show, but those things like the polyphenols, the flavonoids, all of these are antioxidants. And like I always say, antioxidants, they're named antioxidant. They help the body fight against oxidative compounds, those free radicals that come in from the environment, from the air pollution, water pollution, all these different things, plastics in our food, chemicals in our food. And what they do is that they oxidize the cells, and that causes aging. Oxidation is cell aging, and that's what causes us to age, wrinkles, and it causes the aging and the degeneration of cells of our organ systems. So eating foods like apples on a daily basis, or just consistently, you don't have to eat apples every single day. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. You know, I feel like I put apple juice, like fresh apple juice that I make myself, in pretty much all the juice combinations that I make. So I have apples probably at least 1 to 2 times a week at the very least. And that doesn't count when I'm doing juice fasting or doing a juice cleanse when I can have apples every single day. So having those type of phytochemicals, phytonutrients, are extremely important when it comes to assisting the immune system, assisting the digestive tract, and preparing the body, strengthening the body so that it can handle this change into the cooler temperatures. Another very abundant nutrient that is in apples is vitamin C. A lot of people don't think about vitamin C when they think of apples, but vitamin C is extremely it's extremely abundant in apples. So, again, vitamin C is another one of those antioxidant compounds that are going to help with, with keeping the cells and the tissues from degenerating. And vitamin C also helps with boosting the immune system. So, and a lot, if you go to the store and look at a lot of these formulas, they have like supplements, man-made supplements, where they are promoting that something's going to boost the immune system. A lot of times these formulas will have vitamin C in it. And yes, they're correct, vitamin C helps, but the best vitamin C to get is the one directly from the food, whole food. And apples are an excellent way to get that. So if you feel you're coming down with a little sniffles or something, then eat some apples. Or if you're not feeling hungry, juice some apples. And that's a great way to get all of those unadulterated nutrients in apples because, you know, when you juice something, you're taking the fiber away, so now you're getting all of the content from inside of the cell walls of that plant, whatever it is to juice, in this case, apples. So you can do everything with apples. They're so versatile. You know, you can make juice, like I said, applesauce. You can use them in desserts. You know, you can make some nice, alkaline plant-based desserts with apples. Applesauce is a good alternative to eggs and as a sweetener when you're baking. You can also, make sure that you are getting organic apples because apples are on the list for being one of the top 10 most pesticide or most sprayed fruits. So even though apples are very good for you, you want to make sure you're getting the healthiest one. And the healthiest ones are going to be your organic ones. Preferably, I would say try to buy them locally because that's when you're going to be able to talk with farmers. And this goes for all of these fruits and vegetables that I'll be talking about, or for most of them, not all of them. But apples for sure because you're eating the skin and the skin is sprayed. You can wash them, but those chemicals, if they've been used, are seeped into the skin, so you can't even get rid of them that way. So get your apples, y'all. Make sure that you are incorporating them this fall to help with boosting your immunity and healing your digestive system this season. All right, the next is going to be definitely something that's signature to fall, and that is the butternut squash. I love butternut squash. There's like a thousand different ways that I've prepared it or had it prepared for me, and I think it's just one of the most delicious autumn vegetables there is. Squash, if you didn't know already, just all squashes, but butternut squash is what we're talking about. They are a fantastic source of antioxidants, especially beta carotene. And we know that it's abundant in beta carotene because it's that orange yellowish color. So any vegetables or fruits that you see that have that orange color, like carrots or like red bell pepper, orange bell pepper, anything, you know, those are going to have your beta carotenes, and our beta carotenes are those antioxidants that create that pigment, that orange pigment, that also help with scavenging for free radicals. And beta carotene also is extremely, extremely supportive to the immune system as well. So you can get all of that in incorporating squash into your diet. Butternut squash in this case, it also contains high levels of vitamin C, which I mentioned before, you know, is very supportive to the immune system. It helps with, there are like, oh goodness, I can't even remember. There's over 100 biological functions that deal with immunity that require vitamin C in order to carry out what they need. So vitamin C is absolutely, you know, needed during this time of the year, especially if you're somebody prone to acquiring illnesses or allergies during this time of the year. Now, don't throw away those seeds of that butternut squash when you prepare it. Why? Because the seeds of butternut squash are also extremely useful when we're talking about detoxing, especially because they contain omega-3 oils for one. And our omega-3 oils, which I've talked about in other shows, I actually did a whole show on fats and healthy oils or bad oils, and You can learn more about omega-3 oils if you go back into the archives for that. But omega-3 oils, which are in the seeds of these squash and other squash and things like pumpkin and things, they are these anti-inflammatory types of fatty acids. And they are a type of fatty acid that we do not get in abundance in this country. In this country, in America, because of our overly processed diet, because of the overconsumption of animal fats and animal protein, the overconsumption of trans fats from, like, frying and processed foods, eating hydrogenated oils and things of that nature, that causes us to have an overabundance or an unbalanced ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids in our diet. And because of that, it is very common for Americans to be more, or I should say people in America, to have a lot of inflammation, because omega-6 fatty acids are those oils that cause inflammation. Where, on the other hand, omega-3 oils are anti-inflammatory, and when we have a diet that is balanced in the ratio of omega-3s that we need, then we find that our inflammatory processes are more supported, and they don't they're not overstimulated, and, you know, it's helpful. You don't have those problems with inflammation when you have an omega-3 to omega-6 balanced ratio of those two. So squash seeds contain those omega-3 oils. Squashy seeds also contain phytosterols. And phytosterols are basically these other phytochemicals within the seed that actually help the body to balance its cholesterol levels. So when you think of sterol, think about statin, you know, think about statin drugs. So how do they even get these statin drugs that they put people on when they have high cholesterol? Well, they extract things from plants, the phytochemicals or the phytosterols from plants, in order to get, or I don't want to say that they're using phytosterols in the medications, they're using like an analog or like a chemical replica of these phytosterols. But the first statins, you know, that they were using were made from phytosterols from plants. So why not just eat the plant that is going to help balance your cholesterol instead of eating a chemical that will give you side effects and that will damage your liver and that, you know, can cause muscle wasting and all these other types of things that you don't want. So phytosterols in squash seeds are absolutely useful for people that have cholesterol issues, or if you just, you know, even if somebody doesn't have them, it can prevent those kind of things from happening in the future. What else can our squash seeds do? Well, I know that a lot of people have heard this one before, but I'm going to say it again, that squash seeds are anti-parasitic. There are phytochemicals within the seed that are actually irritating to parasites in the digestive tract. So when you eat them, they're not going to irritate your gut, but to the outside of a little worm or some other kind of like a hookworm or a pinworm or something, any other kind of parasite, and even to you know, unbeneficial bacteria in the gut, it causes an unfavorable environment for them to exist. So it's easier for you to eliminate them. So while you're eating your other detoxifying foods, you're keeping your diet clean, you're not, you know, eating an overabundance of sugar and starch, and then you're eating your squash and you're eating the seeds, you're making something with the seeds or snacking on the seeds, this is just going to help in your effects to detoxify, especially if you have parasites or some other kind of unbeneficial microbe in your gut. And then, of course, the antioxidants, the other antioxidants besides the beta carotene that are in squash, that is also in abundance. And, again, this is great when it comes to fending off free radical accumulation in the body and maintaining cell health and slowing down cell aging and oxidation. So how can you prepare your squash? I know a lot of people don't actually prepare squash themselves because, I don't know, I feel like some people are intimidated by preparing squash because it's hard and, you know, you have to, like, people think they need, like, a cleaver or something. And some people do use cleavers to open them, but, I mean, don't be afraid of them. And then just think of, you know, the benefits that you'll get once you do actually prepare your own squash. You can do things like roast it. If you roast a butternut squash, all you need to do is cut it in half and then you get you a cookie sheet. You can put down some parchment paper or whatever you like, or if you're using a ceramic pan or a glass pan. I don't like recommending aluminum foil. That's absolutely a no-no. But if you have like those other types of materials of pans, like I said, that's perfect. Anyway, you cut the squash down the middle, well, long ways, you know, cut it into two from the top to bottom. And then you just oil the pan that you're going to put it on, oil the base of it, and then put those squash halves face down on the pan. And then you just basically let it roast in the oven for about, I want to say for a large squash, you would want to roast it for about 30 minutes, sometimes 40, 45 minutes, depending on how done you want it. You know, if you want to get a little char on there, some people like to have a little, like, that roasty crust on the top or whatever, then you can let it go longer. So just keep an eye on it. Also, you can do things like steaming the squash. So, like, let's say you cut it, you can cube it. Like, once you cut it open, you can cut it into cubes. Make sure you peel it, of course. And then you can also put it on in a steam basket, and you can steam the squash. You can puree it, making a butternut squash soup, which is delicious. Oh, my goodness. I make a butternut squash and apple soup. I don't even like, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even like soup. I'm like, I don't know why. I'm like a person that doesn't really like soup like that, especially raw vegan soup. I don't know what my issue is with that, but I just haven't found one that I just love. But when I made my own soup, this butternut squash soup that I made was delicious. So if you're somebody that maybe, you know, if you already like squash, you would probably definitely like making a butternut squash soup. And you can find plenty of recipes online. But I suggest everybody try it with apple in there at least once. It's really good. And it complements the squash very good. So butternut squash, fabulous for the immune system, great for antioxidant protection, and great for detoxification, because if you eat the seed, it'll help with parasites, unbeneficial bacteria, and giving you that boost of omega-3s that are absolutely needed in our culture today. So butternut squash. Next thing I have on my list is my favorite vegetable of all time, by period, blank, point, in that order, kale. Kale is my favorite vegetable of all time. I think that everybody should eat kale. Yes, I'm very biased in that. I recommend kale to all my patients, all my friends and family. I try to get everybody to eat kale. Why? Because the health benefits of kale are just, I can't even go into all of it. I'm going to try during this show, but I can't go into everything. But I'll give you the gist of why kale is so wonderful. Kale is a superfood. Kale is rich in antioxidants. I mean, you could just look at kale and you can tell that it's going to nourish you. It's deep green. No matter which kind of kale you get, it's vibrantly green, deep green. You have some kale that's red, you know, that way you know you're getting not only the chlorophyll, which is going to alkalinize and oxygenate your tissues, but you're also going to get if you get the red kale, you're going to get the chlorophyll, plus you're going to get some beta-carotenes in there, because remember, our beta-carotenes give us that red, you know, the purple colors, and that's antioxidants. Kale also is chock full of vitamins. It has vitamin C. It has the beta-carotenes will turn into vitamin A in your body, and it has vitamin K, which helps with healthy blood clotting and the circulatory system. It also is a great source of fiber. So along with all that, you know, we're giving the body what it needs, but it also will help the body get rid of what it needs. So the fiber in kale is excellent. It's roughage, right? That's why they call leafy greens roughage. And kale is excellent for tonifying and supporting the digestive system because of that abundance of that insoluble fiber. Those plant cell walls that we can't digest are going to go through our digestive system like little brooms. It's just going to sweep. So that's something that I used to tell kids, like when people would bring children to me that didn't want to eat vegetables, I would say, well, you have to eat I would be promoting kale. I'd be like, look, you got to get her to eat kale. You got to get him to eat kale, and let's talk about kale this way. So when you eat your kale, it's going to be like a little broom. It's going to sweep, 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 sweep out your digestive system. It's going to get all your, you know, those nasty, icky things. They're going to make you sick if you don't get it out. You know, it's going to get it out. So adults can think of it that way as well. It really does that. It goes through and it sweeps, it picks up, it moves those unwanted items out of the digestive system so that you can eliminate. And if you eat enough kale, you know, you will see it when you go to the bathroom. So, when people tell me that their bowel movements are are green because of the kale they've eaten, I'm like, that's great. That's what you want, because that's where you know that it's working. You know that it's getting that stuff out that you need. So, kale, in that regard, the digestive system, beautiful. What else can I tell you about kale? Let me see. Where can I start? It contains more iron than beef. A lot of people didn't know that. People always talk about or ask me, I'll say this, people always ask me, you know, because I'm vegan, and people will ask me, how do you get your protein, you know, or what can I do for protein? I get this especially from brothers, because brothers, you know, who have health challenges and want to know what they can do with their diet, and I tell them, well, eating more vegetables or switching to a plant-based diet. You know, I'm not, you know, trying to make everybody vegan, but if you eat more vegetables, everybody can be healthy, you know. Like, and you just need everybody, no matter what your diet is, should be eating more vegetables, period. So when brothers ask me, or people who are concerned about protein and iron, especially those who are suffering from, like, anemia and things of that nature, low energy, they want iron. Well, kale actually contains more iron than red meat. And iron is essential for cell growth. It's essential for liver function. It's essential for hemoglobin production. So when those people come to me with anemia, or people are having low energy and things of that nature, well, are you supporting the cellular, you know, the cellular health? Are you supporting the liver function? And the liver is the most, or not the most, but one of the most important organs for detoxification. So if your liver is underactive, then that means that your detoxification is underactive and you're accumulating toxins. So of course you're tired. And the hemoglobin production. Hemoglobin is the protein on the red blood cells that allows them to carry the oxygen to the rest of your body. And hemoglobin, the center of it, is iron. You need iron in order to create hemoglobin. So if you are low in hemoglobin, or if you're low in iron in your diet, then the body is going to be at a deficiency when it needs to create hemoglobin, and it won't be able to create as much as it needs to. So the best way to do that is to eat iron-rich food. And what is a really iron-rich food? Beef? No. Kale. Kale is even better. Leafy greens in general are going to give you iron, but kale is just one of those ones that are going to give you an abundance. I mean, when you think about it, okay, so let's look at it from a person that eats meat, you know, a meat eater's perspective. Yes, you can get iron from eating red meat, right? But where do you think the iron from the red meat comes from? You're eating cow, you're eating, you know, pork and things like, or I guess pork is white meat, but any meat, you know. People think they need to eat this beef and stuff for iron, but what are they eating to get the iron to get to you? Cows are eating on grass all day. They're chewing green grass, you know. If they're free range, they're eating other types of leafy greens from the wild, you know, lamb quarters. They could be eating some prickly lettuce, you know, all these other kinds of wild lettuces and other leafy greens that are in their area, whatever. And the reason that their meat is full of iron is because they're eating the iron. And basically, what you're getting is a secondhand iron, you know. So why not bypass all of the things that the animal is, you know, utilizing? So basically, once they've utilized the iron that they've needed for their energy, you're getting what's left of the iron, you know, in their muscles, which is the meat that you eat in a burger or a steak or whatever. So, you know, why not bypass that and get the iron firsthand? Just eat leafy greens. Be like the cow that you're trying to eat, and just eat the vegetables first, you know, and then you're going to get the most superior and highest form of this iron that you need, and your body will be able to take that in. People who are suffering from anemia, so I'm speaking to you now, if you are, increase green juices into your diet. If your digestive system is a little sluggish, this is especially useful because you may not be able to handle eating a big kale salad because you can't break it down. You may not be able to handle eating broccoli raw or, you know, well, steam it lightly. Make sure it's still crunchy, but you can steam it a little bit in order to get to break down some of the cell wall so that you can get to those minerals. So, but juicing is a great way, especially if you don't like eating green leafies. Just juice them or put them in a smoothie with other things like apple and pineapple and banana and, you know, just do your best to get those greens in because those, the juicing and the blending are ways to more quickly assimilate those things you need. And I promise you, if you are consistent with doing this, I would say give yourself a month of consistently, you know, I would say daily if you're really talking about it, if you're really about that life of getting your iron levels up. Juicing and or making smoothies with kale especially, but any green leafy vegetable, you know, for at least a month, and you should be able to see a change in your energy, you know, and in your iron. Now, if you still have problems with your iron, you may need to kind of heal your digestive system up a little bit, but you should definitely see some improvement. So I say all of that about kale because it's so wonderful. Now, I already mentioned a few ways you can prepare kale, juicing, and smoothies. You can also use it in sautés, like stir fries. Try not to cook the heck out of it. You don't need to cook greens for a long time. I don't care what anybody's grandmama, my grandmama, my mama, anybody's mama says. Even though we have probably, a lot of us grown up, especially, you know, my people, black people, I know we can cook the heck out of some greens, okay? Cooking greens for like an hour, over an hour, several hours. You don't need to do that because you're cooking all the life out of them when you do that. If the way that leaf looks when you pull it out, it's all lifeless and limp and goopy, that's because the energy is gone. The life is gone out of that. So you don't want to eat dead food. All you need to do if you're going to cook your kale is you – you only need to maybe saute it for like about 2 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes, just enough to wilt the kale so that it's soft and then let it, you know, I would put it in last if you're making a saute, and then that should be enough, 2 to 5 minutes, you know, that's plenty. You can also do things like making kale chips. You can make it in a dehydrator or if you're dehydrating them, you can just make like a marinade, like something with cashews, and make a seed cheese or a nut cheese. You can make rub them with olive oil and season them with like salt, pepper, onion powder, any kind of things you like. You can make them spicy and put some crushed chili peppers on there, and just put at least a bunch, you know, to get a good serving. But you probably might need a bunch per adult person to really get like a nice amount for each person, because once you eat some kale chips, you won't be addicted. You're going to wish you had made some more. So you can put them in the dehydrator, or you can put them in the oven at a lower temperature. I would put it lowest temperature on your oven, and then you can dehydrate them in the oven that way. Just do it until they're crispy, and then it's just kale chips. You can use kale in soup, you know, like I said, that butternut squash soup that you made, that I said that you should make. You can julienne your kale, or not julienne, was it chiffonade? Chiffonade is when you roll the greens up and then you cut it real thin with the big chef's knife my grandma used to do. So you basically just do that with your kale, and then once you're done with your butternut squash soup, let's say that it's hot, you can just throw it in there into the hot soup, and it will naturally just wilt the kale in the soup, and you'll have a fabulous, that's a wonderful detoxification soup for the fall. Butternut squash and kale soup, delicious. You can throw some chickpeas in there. What? Nice and alkaline. You know, for those of you who are into it, Dr. Savy approved as well. If those of you who are into electric foods, a butternut squash and kale soup would be awesome, right? So, definitely get up on the kale and eat it daily. Dr. Phoebe said eat kale every day if you can, and you will see. And then also, too, kale will make your skin glow like no other thing. I have to tell you, when I notice when I don't eat kale every day, or if I don't eat kale most days of the week, my skin doesn't look the same. I think it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe it could be in my head, but I don't think so. it definitely changes the glow. It's that internal glow from being, you know, oxygenated and alkaline. It's beautiful. But you can get that from any leafy green, honestly. But kale is just, I'm just biased. I'm just biased, y'all. So definitely get up on the kale. Again, remember, you guys, this is a live call-in show. So if anybody has any questions about anything I said up until this point, you can call in at 646-716-7572. And then you press the number 1 if you want to ask a question or make a comment. If not, then just keep listening, and I will continue because, you know, I like to go in on all these foods. Let's see. Ooh, the next one I'm going to talk about is another heavy hitter, man. Turnips, y'all. Turnip with the turnips. I like to turn up with the turnips. So, turnips are another powerhouse superfood. I would say, even though it's not flavor-wise the best on my list or my most favorite green, but it's in my list of favorite greens, leafy green vegetables. And I say flavor because turnips have a very intense taste. It's a very strong-tasting green, but that doesn't mean you should be afraid of it. It just means that you should be expecting that when you buy it, because if you use too much, it can overwhelm a dish or a salad or something like that. And I don't want that to happen to y'all because I've done that more than once. And I still ate it, too, because the benefits outweighed my need for it to be delicious. So let's talk about the health benefits of turnips. And I'm talking about the turnip root as well as the greens, but most specifically the greens. But to get the full nutritional benefits of turnips, you should eat the greens as well as the roots. So it doesn't mean you have to eat them all at the same time, but it would behoove you if you want all of it, because that synergy is there when you eat the whole plant. Anytime you eat a whole food, you're getting the full scope of what that herb can or that vegetable can provide you. So the root and the greens should be consumed in order to get those that full array of what turnips have to bring. Turnips contain several antioxidants. It is one of those very densely antioxidant-populated plants. And you can tell this, or at least I could tell this when I was first introduced to eating turnips. Well, I should say not first introduced, but when I started becoming more health conscious and eating them, especially raw or not heavily cooked or overcooked, you can taste it because of that really pungent, that pungent bitterness that is in turnips. Kale is bitter too, but turnips have this bitterness that is a little bit more intense than kale. And the reason for that is because of the types of antioxidants that are in it that do some more fantastic things for the body. There is a compound in turnips, and oh my goodness, I'm trying to remember the name. Oh, hydroxycinnaminic acid. And I said it right. And that's something that when I was in school, it was like a tongue. A tongue twister. I could never get my mouth to form that word. Hydroxycinnaminic acid and iodine are two phytochemicals that are in turnips that are extremely antioxidant and detoxifying. And they are what give turnips its distinct flavor, those two chemicals together, but most especially the hydroxycinnaminic acid. They aid the immune system in preventing disease. Because, again, they are helping with oxidative stress and preventing that from happening to tissues, but it also protects against inflammation. So one of the big reasons that, or not one of the big reasons, but one of the main causative factors of inflammation in the body is because the immune system is compromised, because there is, so there's some reason why the body is not producing a healthy immune response, either because of chronic disease or because of diet, environmental factors, what have you. But the immune system is supported by these phytochemicals, the two that I mentioned. And so because those two chemicals are very strong immune-supporting phytonutrients, they help with inflammation also a great deal, along with, of course, the free radical scavenging as well. So it's like a great tonic herb. Turnips are very tonifying to the body. So if you eat them on a consistent basis and in whatever way you like, then you should see improvement if you have those kind of conditions that are inflamed conditions. I recommend eating turnip greens to people who have like autoimmune issues. If people have like achy joints, arthritis, and just I think everybody should be consuming turnip greens at least once a week at the very least, and not twice to three times a week. You can consume it in juices. That's one of the best ways, again, because you can add in fruits and other flavor-enhancing, healthful vegetables and fruits that will help to mask the flavor of the turnip. But you can also do things like eat it in sautés, stir-fries. You can put it in soups. I've made salads with it before. You just can't add too much of it because I eat a lot of raw vegan food. So I've definitely had turnips raw on many occasions. But my favorite way of eating turnip greens and the root is to juice it. Just make sure, again, you're not juicing too much. And a little bit goes a long way. And you'll see as you start working with turnips, if you haven't already, you don't need a lot of turnips. You can probably buy a bunch, like one bunch of turnips from the store, either the greens, or you can buy one root of turnip, and you can probably make four juices out of it, like literally. Like cut the root into four quarters, and then just put one quarter of that into your juice of everything else. You know, if you're putting like the quarter of turnip, and then put in your apples, put in your kale, put in, whatever, grapes, whatever you like. And then the same thing goes for the turnip greens. You know, you probably only need about, I would say, chopped up. But, most people aren't going to be chopping up things when they're juicing. But let's say about 2 to 3 leaves of the turnip greens, and that's plenty. So, and you will taste it in the juice, but it won't be overpowering. If you add more than that, hey, it's going to be a very pungent, bitter juice. But if you don't mind pungent, bitter juices or pungent, bitter foods in your dishes, then, you should be all right. And the more, the merrier. I'm just letting you know. So those are different ways that you can prepare the turnip so that you can reap the benefits of it. I love turnip greens. Very, very alkalizing. And, one more thing I want to tell you about turnips as well. They are another great source of iron. So it's the same way that kale is an excellent source of iron. Turnip greens also, they are one of those plants that they are created to extract iron and minerals from the soil more so than their other plant colleagues, right? So definitely if you are anemic, you're prone to low energy, if you're, somebody that needs, that is lacking in minerals, if you've been told that you need more minerals because of, whatever condition that you may have that is causing you to be deficient, turnip greens are an excellent way to build the blood with those type of nutrients. Yes. So get up on turnips. Great, great, great for this season. All right, so the next fruit that I have here is figs. Figs, oh my goodness, I love figs. A great fall time fruit. Now, figs, I know some people may only know figs or may know figs from them being in Fig Newtons or maybe like some types of fig candies and things like that. But figs are not just in Fig Newtons. I say this because it's kind of a joke because I had a patient and she, when I would talk about figs, she would always talk about how, I love Fig Newtons. That was like the first thing that she said. I thought it was so funny. And I'm like, oh, goodness. I know that there are a lot of people that haven't been introduced to these fruits in their whole form. And, they may not know that if you eat them in their whole form without them being processed into a snack, you can get even more from them. So figs are good. Fig Newtons were great. Just make your own, and it'll be even more healthy. And you can use figs to do that. We know that disease can manifest in the body more easily when the pH is out of whack, right? So figs are especially useful in this regard because figs help the body to balance their pH levels. All foods that we've talked about up until this point help with that because, again, a lot of diseases in this country are because of an over-acidity in the body. So we want to get the body, because of that, to balance it, we want to get more alkaline fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, into our diet in order to bring our body to an equilibrium of acid to alkalinity. And a way you can do that really well is with figs, because figs are very, very alkaline, and they help with nourishing the blood in a way that helps it to dispel out some of that excess acid, helping the body to remove that a lot of that excess acid from the body so that it can bring more of that alkaline state into existence. So the fiber in figs is what we see really helping with that, because, again, the reason that you have an acidic the reason why you have acidity in the body is because it's an accumulation of waste and toxins that haven't been able to be eliminated from the body. So just like we talked about the fiber in apples and, you know, how that soluble fiber is very useful in helping the body to cleanse, figs also contain a fiber similar to that, and is extremely nourishing to the intestines as well, the same that the apple pectin fiber was. So eating figs along with your apples are going to nourish your large intestine. It's going to help with the body drawing out those impurities that are creating acidity, that are creating inflammation, that are creating all this excess waste in the body, and it's going to pull them into the colon where it should be so that it can be prepared for elimination the next time you go to the bathroom. So the fiber, again, is soluble, so that means that the colon cells are actually going to be able to utilize it as an energy source. So it's going to be help with supporting the integrity of the digestive system as well. I also mentioned here that people who suffer from allergies and food intolerances and things like eczema and even autoimmune diseases and, you know, arthritis and things of that nature, lupus, a lot of these people will have challenged digestive systems. And like I mentioned, 80% of the immune system is in the gut. So if your gut is, you know, if it's all tore up, if the integrity is not strong, if it's letting in things and letting out things all willy-nilly that it shouldn't be, then that is where a lot of the root causes of these immune compromised conditions happen. So when you heal the gut through eating foods like apples, like figs, that contain the soluble fiber that can be digested and that can be utilized by the cells, it helps to heal that. So definitely put figs into your diet consistently so that you can see how those things can help with healing you up. And this is for everybody. I mean, if you are in this country, even if you don't have allergies and problems with that, you know, you should still be eating foods to nourish your gut, because our gut is exposed to the outside world every single day through the things we eat, that we inhale. I mean, you name it. The gut is constantly on guard trying to protect and to serve us, you know, especially our immune system. So when your gut breaks down, if you look at a person that has an autoimmune disease, you can see where you're headed if you don't take care of it. So you prevent such things from happening down the line by consuming foods like figs and making sure you're getting those nice soluble fiber foods in to protect your immune system and your gut. The fiber in figs also helps us to maintain healthy levels of blood sugar. So figs are another one of those that I recommend to some of my diabetic patients. Not everyone. Some people who are very, very sensitive to sugar can't even eat figs. But some people who are able to handle some fruit sugars, that like the same people that can handle the blueberries and other berries in their diet, those are the people who can usually handle the figs. So figs help lowering, or we're not lowering, but helping the body to balance its blood sugar levels, because, again, that fiber slows gastric emptying. So when you slow gastric emptying, what that means is that when you eat a meal, it takes longer for it to actually go out into the small intestine and then into the large intestine. So when you eat a fiber-rich meal, it fills you up. And it kind of stays with you a little bit longer, not in an uncomfortable way, but in a satiating way. So it helps you to not overeat, for one. And then it also helps the body to not have glucose released into the blood as quickly. Because when you release glucose into the blood quickly, it causes a spike in insulin that's unhealthy. But when you slowly the sugar into the system. Because all, you know, everything we eat has glucose. You can't get away from it. But if you're eating a meal that's healthful, has natural sugars from plants, you know, from fruits and vegetables and things, when you eat figs with that meal, it could be a smoothie, it could be a salad, whatever, it just slows down the rate at which the sugar from that meal is released. And all of that helps with balancing out how sugar is received in the body. And it makes it to where it doesn't make any unhealthy jumps in blood sugar into the, you know, that will cause inflammation, sluggishness, that itis feeling, you know, the itis, where you feel like you're going to fall asleep after you eat a large meal. It helps that to not happen. So that doesn't mean you can eat whatever you want if you eat figs with it, right? Doesn't mean that. That means it just, in combination with this, with a healthful fall seasonal diet, like we're mentioning, you can add figs to it, and it will just assist you in continuing to heal the body and balance blood sugar, if that's your issue. If you don't have blood sugar issues, it's just a great herb to prevent those types of issues in the future. So figs also contain an array of different minerals and vitamins, like all fruits and vegetables. But in figs, they have an abundance of potassium. They're actually very rich in potassium. A lot of people don't know that. Manganese, calcium, magnesium, iron, and copper are also very abundant in figs. And that's just a few of them. But they're, like any fruit, they're full of these wonderful things that are good for us. So you can eat figs dried. You can eat them fresh. You can put them in baked goods, raw vegan goods. I've seen people make pie crusts with them. You know, if you blend it together with nuts and seeds in a food processor, you can use it to make your own homemade fig Newtons, right? You can find a recipe online and make some. Just make sure, you know, they also have healthful, alkaline, you know, life-promoting ingredients. Don't put a whole bunch of crazy things in there, like a whole bunch of sugar. But you don't need sugar. Just use the dates, right? You can, I mean, not the dates, the figs. But you can use dates, for example, as another natural, healthful sweetener. So there, you can make them savory, sweet. Figs are extremely versatile. Look up recipes on how you can use figs, and just go to town on them. I like to eat them as snacks. I can just eat them by themselves, and they're fabulous. All right, I have two more vegetables to go, and then I'll be done. I know it's seven, but just bear with me. I've only got two more. The next fruit that I have to talk about is grapes. Grapes are just excellent. And another food that is slept on, kind of, they're just, you know, another fruit that's conventionally available or commonly available at the store. But grapes are, they actually have a lot of benefits for our health. Red grapes, for example, contain phytochemicals, red and black grapes, I'll say, contain phytochemicals called resveratrol. And resveratrol is that antioxidant compound in grapes that has been heavily researched. You'll probably see resveratrol, resveratrol in anywhere from GNC to a cosmetic section. They're using resveratrol in cosmetics now, I heard, as a way of anti-aging and all that, like topically. And, okay, that means that somebody has done some kind of research, but the best way for you to get the benefits of resveratrol in grapes is through eating them. A little bit more about resveratrol, it's been known to have not only antioxidant properties, but also immune-modulating properties as well, which means that it helps the body in boosting the body's ability to respond immunologically to different onslaughts from pathogens or environmental factors or whatever. So it doesn't boost the immune system. So immune stimulating, which is what I've been talking about with some of these other plants, that's when you actually just give the immune system more energy and you're saying, okay, work harder, immune system. But when you say immune modulating, modulating means that it